Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. Now just hold your place right there. Matthew adds a few words in this particular context. And I want to read what Matthew said about that. Jesus said to them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And in verse 5 of my text in chapter 3 of Mark, And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Father, we are so glad for the privilege to be together in the house of God, thankful for everyone who is assembled here. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us, that we would feel the presence of the Lord this morning, and we would exalt the name of Jesus. And I pray that souls would be convinced of the truth. And I ask you this morning to help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that souls would be saved and sanctified and filled with the Spirit of God this morning. May this be a glorious day. I pray for your help in delivering the message, and pray for your anointing. Pray, Father, that you'd give us words to speak that would be of value to these souls. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach for a few minutes this morning on the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus said in verse 28 of Mark chapter 2, Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now Jesus spoke these words in a period of time in which he was involved in Sabbath controversies. And there had been several occasions where Jesus healed or did something good on the Sabbath day and was reproached by the Pharisees. This was just part of an increasing opposition to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing I read to you in chapter 3 and verse 6, the Pharisees were consulting with the Herodians about how they might kill Jesus. And so this opposition to Christ was gradually increasing to the point that they were ready to kill him. And in this controversy concerning the Sabbath day, Jesus made this startling and revealing statement about himself. He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Boy, that was quite a statement. Now, I never paid a lot of attention to that, until just the last day or two. I got to thinking about that. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And brother, I can understand why these people were so angry with Jesus if they understood what he meant when he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, the three things I want to talk to you about from this passage of Scripture. One of them is the greatness of Christ. The second thing is the love of Christ. And the third thing is the example of Christ. So, first of all, we're going to deal with the greatness of Jesus Christ. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus was saying to these men who were criticizing him because of what his disciples were doing. His disciples were plucking the corn on the Sabbath day and eating it. Now, it wasn't maize corn like we grow. It was grain in the fields. If they were plucking that grain, rubbing it in their hands, and eating that grain. And the Pharisees said, your disciples, in other words, are breaking the Sabbath law. And Jesus Christ said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Brother, he really said something when he said that. And I want you to understand some things about Jesus Christ this morning. First of all, I want you to understand he is the one that established the Sabbath because he was involved in the creation of this world. He was there. The Bible says there was not anything made that was made without Jesus Christ. Jesus is the creator of all things. And it was Jesus who was laboring in the creation, making all things. And on the seventh day, the Bible says that God rested, sanctified that day, and made it a holy day. Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the one that established the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. And not only did Jesus establish that day and sanctify it and make it holy, but he said also, as the Lord of the Sabbath, he is the one that regulated it. He's the one that gave the regulations for that day. They're saying, you're breaking that day. He said, look, I'm the one that established that day. I'm the one that set the regulations for that day. Praise God, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Brother, do you get who Jesus is? I'm telling you, he's the Lord from heaven, the creator of all things. He's the one that established the Sabbath day. He's the one that set the regulations for the Sabbath day. The Pharisees didn't establish it, and they're not the makers of the regulation of it. But Jesus is the one that established it, and he's the one that set the regulations. Now, the Pharisees had built up quite a body of laws concerning the Sabbath day. And when the disciples had gone through this field, plucking this grain and rubbing it in their hands and eating it, they had indeed broken the traditions of the Pharisees. But they had not broken the law of the Lord. And Jesus let them know, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the one that set the regulations for it. Praise God. And so, these disciples had broken the law of the Pharisees, but not the law of God. It was permissible for a person to go through a field, and if they were hungry, to take and eat from that field. They couldn't take and cut down the shocks of grain, but they could take and eat the grain if they were hungry. So they had not broken the law of God, and they had not violated the Sabbath day by taking and eating of that grain because they were hungry. So Jesus let them know they have not broken my law. They may have broken yours, but they've not broken my law. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, y'all not going to shout, I know. So just sit back and listen. Praise God. Amen. But I'm going to tell you some things this morning that might help you. Praise God. I'm talking about the greatness of Jesus Christ. He's the one that set the law of the Sabbath. In His law, just general principles regulated that day. No work, no burdens, no business. 6 days you're to labor, seventh day is the day to rest. And they were not to carry any burdens on that day, and they were not to do business on that day. They were not to buy, they were not to sell. If you remember Nehemiah coming back from coming to Jerusalem and finding them buying and selling on the Sabbath day, and the heathen were bringing in their wares to Jerusalem, and they were buying and selling the wares of the heathen and involved in commerce on the Sabbath day, and Nehemiah rebuked them. He said, look, God has judged us for breaking the Sabbath day, and here you are, after He's brought us back home, violating the holiness of that day again. And so He closed the doors of Jerusalem, the gates of Jerusalem, to keep out the heathen and stop the commercial business on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, this, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath day. I set the regulations. No work, no burdens, no business. Now, there were two exceptions to that Sabbath law. One was the law of necessity. Jesus said, if the ox is in the ditch, what do? You get him out. He said, if your sheep has fallen in the pit, you'll get him out of the pit. So that was the law of necessity. And the law of necessity did not involve pushing the ox in the ditch. The law of necessity said if the ox falls in the ditch, you can get the ox out of the ditch. If your sheep falls in the pit, get your sheep out of the pit. But don't push the sheep in the pit. Okay, so you don't create necessity. It happens. So that was the law. And on that one day that they rested, they assembled and worshiped God and listened to the instruction from the Word of God. So this day was to be not only a physical rest, but it was to lead to spiritual refreshing. Now, let me tell you this. This command involves the command to work. 6 days shalt thou labor. So that it was given in recognition, y'all hearing me now? It was given in recognition that some people have an aversion to work. 6 days shalt thou labor. Is that right? So, it struck at this aversion to labor. Some people don't like to work. Maybe most of us don't. But some people are determined not to. And I want to tell you something. God has a word for you. If you don't work, don't eat. Now, I know some people can't work. I understand that some people are disabled. I know all of those things. And God's not talking about people like that. But I'm telling you, God said, this is what you've got to do. You've got to work. 6 days. But now, this commandment also was a recognition. Now get this. It was a recognition that some people would crowd God out of their life by multiplying business and activities, and so that they would work 7 days straight every week and not give God room in their life. And so God checked that impulse in man. He said, in other words, if you can't get your work done in 6 days, you've got too much to do, and it's time to unload some unnecessary things so you can get your work done in 6 days. Boy, y'all ain't shouting, and you ain't saying a whole lot. But I'm going to tell you now, I'm telling you the truth. Oh yeah. I'm telling you the truth. If it takes more than 6 days to get your work done, You got too much work to do. It's time to unload some unnecessary things. And that's the reason God gave us. Now, I want you to understand this. God didn't tell us this because He hated us. He didn't tell us this in order to burden us. He told us this because He loved us. Praise God. And so, it is an act of love. The Sabbath was made for man. Now, I want to talk just a few minutes about the example of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that after the creation, God rested from His creation work. And that is given as a foundation for this commandment. He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For God worked 6 days and rested the seventh. So that's given as a foundation for the commandment. God set an example for us. Jesus set an example for us. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I labored 6 days in the creation. I rested on the seventh day. I set an example for you. And so we see the example of Christ in the rest of the Sabbath day. And you know, hear me now, our attitude toward the Sabbath is a reflection of our attitude toward the Lord of the Sabbath. He has set an example for us. And this is the reason He gave to the children of Israel, I want you to follow my example. And you know, sometimes we look at Jesus and we say, well, Jesus, I see that You set an example in this area. I see You set an example in that area. And I like that. But I see where You set an example in this area, and I don't like that. But brother, this was an example that Jesus set for us. I am the Lord of the Sabbath, and Jesus rested. So, we follow divine example in working 6 days and resting one. And not only do we do that by our physical rest, but get this. The Bible says that Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day as was His custom. What is Jesus doing going into synagogues as was His custom? I tell you what He's doing. He set an example for us so that on that day set aside for assembly and worship and instruction, Jesus attends the synagogue and sets an example for us to cultivate divine fellowship in our life. On the day that God has set aside for us, we're to assemble in the name of Jesus, hear the instruction of the Word, worship God, and cultivate our fellowship with God. That's the example that Jesus set before us. Now, I know what many of you are thinking, and I understand that, you know, sometimes it's hard to piece all of it together. It's hard to get it all straight in your minds. And you're wondering, well, we're not seventh day Sabbath worshipers, we're first day worshipers, and what does this have to do with us? Well, let me just bring a few things to your mind this morning about this. First of all, it is true that Christians worship on the first day of the week. It is an ancient custom all the way back to Bible days. We know how that the disciples on the first day of the week, that was the day that Jesus came out of the grave. It was the day that Jesus appeared to His disciples in the upper room. The next first day of the week, Thomas was with them. Jesus appeared to them again. Pentecost, first day of the week. They assembled in the book of Acts on the first day of the week. Now I know that sometimes they met with the Jews on the seventh day for the purpose of converting and evangelizing the Jews. But when the Christians met together, they met together on the first day of the week. And that practice continued right on through church history. The first day of the week, it was called the Lord's Day. And we read about that in Revelation chapter 1, where the Bible says, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is the first day of the week. Now I want you to understand this. First of all, understand this. Jesus endorsed the concept of the Sabbath. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And he had necessity. Then there was the law of mercy. Jesus said, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. They were accusing Jesus of breaking the Sabbath day because he was healing people. Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath day. I set the regulations for the Sabbath day. It is lawful to do well. So, this act of mercy was inconsistent with the law and the Lord of the Sabbath. Those two exceptions. The law of necessity and the law of mercy. Now we all understand there are some things that have to be done on the Sabbath day. We understand, you know, if a person's in the nursing home, somebody's got to feed them. Somebody's got to take care of them. We understand if there's a baby going to be born today, somebody's got to be there to help that baby be born. Sister Connie helped my babies, my grandbabies get in this world. And one of them came on the Lord's Day, didn't it? Wasn't it on the Lord's Day? Oh, it was Sister Carolyn's, yeah, okay. So I know that there are certain things that have to be done. You know, nature just, there's just certain things you got to do. You got to feed your dog. You got to feed your goat. You got to, there's certain things that's got to be done. So there's a law of necessity. There's a law of mercy. And those are the exceptions that Jesus made on the Sabbath day. I am the Lord of the Sabbath day. And in saying that, Jesus identified himself with the great Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is part of the triune God, God the Son. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, secondly, I want to see the love of Christ. He said to these people who criticized him, he said, man was not made for the Sabbath. In fact, the Sabbath was created after man. Man was made on the sixth day of creation. The Sabbath was the seventh day. So that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath, listen to this now. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, for his benefit and for his blessing. Boy, if we could get a hold of that. And you know, sometimes people feel like, boy, those poor old people in the Old Testament having to observe the Sabbath day, poor old folks, and what a burden that must have been. You don't have no idea of what the Sabbath was all about. You don't. You know what? What colors our mind sometimes is all we know about the Sabbath and its regulations is the Pharisaical regulations. That's all we know. We don't really consider that God made this day to be a blessing to mankind. So we think about it, boy, that was a horrible burden for those people to have to keep the Sabbath day. No, it was not a horrible burden. It was an act of love. God gave them the Sabbath day as an act of love. Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath day. I'm the one that gave that day. It was an act of love. God gave it to be a blessing to mankind. Now, religious people made that day a burden, but God didn't. You hear me? I said religious people made that day a burden, but God didn't. That was no burden. It was a blessing. It was the love of God that gave us that day. Now, I want you to understand that the Sabbath was not just made for the Jews. That's not what Jesus said. Did you get that? He said the Sabbath was made for man. He did not say the Sabbath was made for Jews. The Sabbath was given in the very beginning, not to Jews, but to all mankind. That was this institution of 6 days of work, one day of rest. It wasn't a Jewish thing. It was a mankind thing. All of mankind was blessed with the institution of the Sabbath day. Now, when the Lord made His covenant with the people of Israel at Sinai, He didn't start the Sabbath day. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So that it was not the beginning of the Sabbath day, but God built it into the covenant with Israel. This was a benefit for all of mankind. The Sabbath was made for man. For mankind in general. It is a gift of God, not just to the Hebrew nation, but to all mankind. And there was a purpose for it. The purpose was this. It provided a day of rest. And that, I'm talking about physical rest. It provided a day of physical rest. And that day of physical rest was meant to serve the spiritual refreshing of the people of God. So that 6 days they worked, one day they rested, endorsed. He said, I'm the originator of it. He endorsed the concept of the Sabbath. The New Testament clearly teaches us that we are not bound to the Old Testament Jewish Sabbath. In the book of Colossians, the Bible tells us to let no man judge you in respect of a holy day or of new moons or of the Sabbaths, so that we are not bound to Old Testament Jewish seventh-day Sabbath. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14, He says, some men esteem one day above another. He said, some men esteem every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He was speaking there of the Jewish holy days. So we understand from those scriptures that as New Testament Christians, we are not bound to the seventh day Sabbath of the Old Testament Jewish covenant. We're under a new covenant. We have a better covenant. We have better blood. And now we are living in a new era of grace. In this new era of grace, we do not meet on seventh day to celebrate deliverance from Egyptian bondage. We meet on the first day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who by His death and resurrection liberated us from sin. That's why we're here this morning on the first day of the week. This New Testament Lord's Day is a special day. That's the reason why it's called the whose day? The Lord's Day. It is a special day because it is the Lord's Day. Now, if we understand that this is a special day, it's the Lord's Day. And you know, I've done a lot of research and reading over this on this through the years. A lot of people feel like in the New Testament, there is no Sabbath concept, and you can forget about it, treat the Lord's Day just like you would any other day. But most people understand that there is something special about the Lord's Day. And the only thing they know to bring to bear on it is the Old Testament commandment. And the principles that govern that holy day in the Old Testament. What else are we going to do with it? Well, I tell you what. We're going to apply the same principles to this holy day that God's given us in the New Testament as He gave in the Old Testament. This is not a day to burden you. It's a day to bless you. Praise God. And Jesus gave us this day not to burden us, but to bless us. You don't believe it. But I'm telling you anyway. Praise God. And let me tell you something. I challenge you to try it. You'll find out. It really is a blessing, not a burden, to have one day to rest. To assemble in the house of God. To cease from your own labors. To withdraw from the busyness of life. To concentrate on God. To renew your fellowship and your covenant with Him. To hear instruction from Him. To take time with your families. To talk about God. Take them to the house of God. Instruct them in the ways of God. Make use of that time for your own spiritual benefit. If they don't have time to pray during the week very much. I'm busy. I've got all these things going on. I'm tired. I'm weary. Hey, how about the Lord's Day? Make up for lost time. Spend some time in prayer. Get the Word of God and study the Word of God. Get in the house of God and hear the instruction of the Word of God. Take time for God. This is whose day? It's the Lord's Day. Praise God. Now, you ain't going to hear preaching like this very often and very many places you go, but I'm giving it to you because I believe it'll be good for you. All right? And one more scripture I want to give you. The Lord invites us into the blessing of this day. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God says, if you will do this, I'll honor you and bless you. Praise God. Now, if you had plans to go to McDonald's, cancel them. And let's honor the Lord. If you had plans to go to the flea market and set up, cancel them. And let's honor the Lord. Amen. And let's say, Lord, I'm going to try what you said in your word. The laws that govern your day, I'm going to try those laws and see. You know, if your car's broke down and you're out on the road, you're going to have to fix it so you can get where you're going. But if your car's sitting at your yard and you got another way to go, it'll wait on Monday. Is that right? It'll wait on Monday. I know there's a law of necessity and a law of mercy, but don't push the ox in the ditch.